It's good to see such a good crowd this morning. Glad that you're all here, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. Please note the two announcements in your bulletin, the Cox Volunteers announcement, as well as please note the church office will be closed tomorrow. Some other announcements that are not in your bulletin. Sally and I will not be here next Sunday, next weekend. We'll be having our 39th wedding anniversary, and so we're going to be taking a few days off. Thank you. I told somebody the other day at the gym that I was approaching the 39th wedding anniversary, and they said, "Lord, have mercy on Sally." So. So Haynes will be leading our services next week, and next week we will be back to our normal 8:30 and 11 o'clock services. So Haynes will be leading our services next week, and then I wanted to make the announcement this Sunday, since I will not be here next Sunday, on July 18th, Sunday after next, our choir will return for our 11 o'clock worship services. So we look forward to our choir being back. Are there announcements that should be made this morning that were not made? If not, it's a joy that the Lord has called us together, so let us come and worship His most holy name. Our most gracious and loving Lord, indeed we know that you are with us. So as we gather in your presence, our hearts and minds are open, praying that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and that we are able to receive the messages that you would communicate to us. As we continue, may this service be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and may it strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." Let's stand as we sing.
Remain standing for the affirmation of faith, which you'll find printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we go to prayer this morning, as always, please refer to the prayer list that we have printed in our bulletin. It'd be nice if you don't already do so, that during your prayer time during the week, to go down the list and say maybe remember a few persons each day. You may not can remember everybody every day, in your prayer time. But maybe if you just have your bulletin and every day take 3, 4, 5 and just remember them in your prayer time throughout the week. But do refer to your prayer list. We do want to offer a praise this morning that Charles Sims is home. He's weak from the surgery, but he is home. So we are thankful to report that this morning. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning. We want to say thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings. We want to thank you that you use us. That as much as it's hard for us to comprehend, you use each one of us, and you have used us for eternal purposes, though we may not have recognized it. We thank you for the freedom that we do experience this day. For we know as we experience life that our country's not perfect. We know that we have always had struggles, and we're struggling now in places, and there will be struggles in the future. But Lord, you have granted us the unique privilege of living in such a place where those differences can be hashed out, though sometimes it's not so friendly. You have granted us the privilege of being able to voice concerns and petition our government. You have granted us the freedom thereby which we can change our government by nonviolent means, but by through the voting booth. And gracious Lord, that is just such a fantasy to so many around the world, and it's something we take for granted, and we get aggravated when everybody doesn't see things the way we do, and sometimes we wish that they wouldn't be so vocal, but Lord, if they couldn't be so vocal, neither could I. So Lord, we just want to thank you for the freedom that is ours, and we want to thank you for the freedom of assembling this morning, the freedom to assemble, to not assemble, to assemble in this congregation, to assemble in another. Lord, may we never forget what a privilege it is that we experience as citizens of these United States. And Lord, we pray your forgiveness for where we don't do it right. We pray for your guidance where we might become more the nation you're calling us to be. And we pray for us as a church, and I'm speaking for our congregation and praying for all churches, Lord, that we might be that positive avenue that calls a nation to look toward God for the answers to the questions that plague us. But Lord, thank you for the freedom we celebrate today. And Lord, we know we would not be celebrating this freedom today were it not for men and women since the founding of this nation that have placed themselves in harm's way to win that freedom and to preserve that freedom. And Lord, even as we worship now, and even as we will have fun the remainder of this weekend and this holiday weekend, there are men and women who are in harm's way right now, and there are others who are just a communication away. Some are in civilian roles, others are in military roles. Lord, we pray that you protect those who protect us, that your healing be upon the wounded, the physical wounds that are easily seen, and the emotional, spiritual wounds that so often are undetected by others. And we pray that your peace will be upon the families whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, we do thank you this morning as we remember our congregation. We thank you for those places and those persons where we have seen your healing touch, and we have seen your continued presence. And we just want to thank you and praise you. And Lord, we lift up all of those on our prayer list, printed, spoken, and even silent upon the heart, that your healing touch, according to your will and your wisdom, would rest upon each. And we do thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of Christians that gathers at Walker Church. We thank you that you have used this church in generations past, we pray that we will be faithful today and that you might use us in the opportunities and challenges of this day. We pray that you, as you have blessed us, we will indeed be a blessing. And we pray that when we leave these grounds, that we will be conscious of your presence with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back so that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is Amazing Grace. We'll sing 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. Let's stand.
Gracious and loving Lord, we can give to you because you first lavished your love and your gifts upon us. As we bring back a portion of those gifts back to you now, we pray that your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture lesson this morning is John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Freedom. Unique concept. Doesn't mean the same to everybody. For some, freedom means no restraints. There are no moral absolutes, because for something to be moral, one must agree with it or be happy with the moral in order for it to be adhered to. For some, and I'm sad to say, I think I see this from all sides of political and spectrums, religious, everything else. For some, freedom is limited to advancing my agenda. But when you want to start advancing yours, we cut it off. And you can see that whatever part of the spectrum you want to look on. Jesus declared that those who follow the word of God will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. He said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So, such being the case, every human being is faced with a decision. Do we believe Jesus is truly God in human form? And do we trust and love Jesus? Because you see, we note that Jesus said that those who continue in his word will know the truth. The truth that sets one free. Now, I don't know if it's a character, something that is positive in my character, something negative in my character, but I've always been too honest for my own good. And so may I be honest again this morning. When I read the New Testament without trying to put any of my preconceptions on it, and I read Jesus without trying to put any preconceptions on him, there are some things about Jesus, man, they just fit like a glove. I like what he said. I praise what he said. I'm joyful in what he said. Man, I love it. But then there's some other things that go against every grain of human instinct. What are you talking about if somebody hits me on the right side of the face to turn the other one to them? I mean, no. What do you mean if somebody wants to sue me for $1 million, I offer them two? No. What do you mean if somebody's stealing my stuff, instead of bringing out my pistol, I help them load it? No. You get what I'm saying? Some things about Jesus just fit like a glove. I get the warm fuzzies. Other things, it's like, no. It goes against every grain of my human instinct. But Jesus said, if I want to be free, I follow his word. That means I follow his word in those places where it fits like a glove and I got the warm fuzzies, and those other places that goes against my grain. Because I believe Jesus is God in human form. I believe Jesus gave his life for me first, and then he calls me to follow him. But sadly, and I mean this truly, sadly, many in society probably agree with Brad Pitt. I read an article that said, quoting the author, "There's one subject he refers to time and time again, and that's religion. I would call it an obsession. He says because it stifles any kind of personal individual freedom. I dealt with a lot of that, and my family would diametrically disagree with me on all of that. It's only when we later drift into an unlikely debate about one of the New Testament parables that I realized just how different a kind of God Brad Pitt grew up with. Now hear this. To him, the parable of the prodigal son is an authoritarian tale told to keep people in line. In his view, the story says that if you go out and try to find your own voice and find what works for you, and what makes sense for you, then you're going to be destroyed and you're going to be humbled and you will not be alive until you come again home to the Father's ways. Wow. Whoa. But I would contend that there are some folks in the church who are striving to be Christians, yet if the truth be told, they have the same view of God. They attempt to follow all of the rules, not out of love for God, not out of gratitude for what God first did for us through Jesus Christ, but because they're afraid not to. Such a believer experiences no joy of faith. They experience no joy in service because they obey and they serve out of sheer fear. Now, are there some things that many would refer to as restrictions in Jesus' teachings? Well, I named a few that kind of go against my grain, and I strive to follow them. Indeed, there are. All right, so John, help me here. If there are some things that we would see as human beings are kind of restricting our human instincts, then how do you call that freedom? I really don't get it. Well, to answer that question, I would point you back to the first three chapters of Genesis. Now, I'm going to summarize it real quick, but I refer you to Genesis chapters 1 through 3. A very brief summation of the first three chapters of Genesis is God had created a perfect world and had given humans complete run of the place with one exception. Don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Got the whole run of the place. Leave that one thing alone. But now, serpent was crafty. He convinced Eve, and Adam was standing right there beside her, so convinced Adam and Eve. Look, man. Tree not going to hurt you. That's the southern way. Tree's not going to hurt you. Tree's not going to hurt you. You know what God's doing, don't you? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God's holding back on you. God knows if you eat that from that tree, you're going to know every bit as much as God. You're going to be right up there with God. And God don't want that. So it's not going to hurt you. God's trying to hold back on you. How many of us in the world and how many people in the world are trying to be God? How many people are trying to be God to us? And yet, when we follow all of these things that want to be God, where are we getting? I know I'm not using very good English this morning. Forgive me for getting a little wound up. But where is it getting us? Nowhere. Nowhere. We're still fighting. We're still clawing. We're still hating. Not getting us anywhere. And so Adam and Eve eat the fruit. And the world's been in a mess ever since. And until Jesus comes back, because we can't listen to Jesus, we'll stay in a mess. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came to teach and show us how to be in relationship with God and hence in relationship with each other. And just try to imagine for a moment. What would this world be like? Nah, let me back up. That's too big. What would Greensboro be like if everybody in Greensboro treated each other the way Jesus treats us? What would your next homeowners association meeting be like if everybody in that association treated each other as Jesus treats us? If we were to follow the life and teachings and example of Jesus, we would once again relate to God and each other as was intended back here in Genesis 1. But notice the rest of the encounter in the scripture lesson. Most of the time we stop at verse 32 as we did this morning, but there's more to the discussion in verses 33 through 38. They answered him, "We're descendants of Abraham and we've never been slaves to anyone." Seems like they forgot about this little thing in history called Egypt. But anyway, they say, "We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place for you in my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." The truth is, every one of us is following something. We may consciously follow it, we may unconsciously follow it, but every one of us is following something. Some of us are following the God of affluence. Some of us are following the God of politics. Some are following the God of always seeking personal happiness. Sadly, others chase substances of all kinds. But Jesus just said, if you're not following my teaching and example, you're a slave to sin. So what are we free from when we submit and trust and obedience to the teaching and example of Jesus? Just to name a quick few. We're freed from the guilt of sin and mistakes of the past. I have to remind myself of that over and over again. You would not believe. In some ways, I wish I could forget what all churches I've served over my time. You know why? Because I remember mistakes I made at every single church, and I wish I could go back and do them over. Over my 15 years here with you, I remember mistakes I have made, and I wish I could do them, undo them. But what is that getting me? Nothing. I have to constantly remind myself, Jesus has set me free from the guilt of my past sins. Jesus has set me free from the mistakes of the past. And Christians, it's a shame so much of the world can't know this freedom. Freedom from the fear of tomorrow. Now, I'm getting older, you know. So I'm trying to make plans for when my time comes that I'm no longer doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to be prudent about medical bills and so forth that will come up in the future. I'm trying to be prudent. God gave me a brain, so use it to try to plan as best I can. But y'all know how it is. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there in the future that's out of my control. God takes away the fear of tomorrow. I've been freed from the guilt of the past. I've been freed from the fear of tomorrow. And here in between, I'm freed from the empty life because Jesus gives my life purpose. So as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, let us praise God that indeed we are free. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings, and you know that even if we are 100% fully dedicated to you, if we 100% fully love you, if we are attempting to follow you with no reservations, our humanity still tends to get in the way. So gracious Lord, you know everyone in this room this morning. You know those places in our lives if we've attempted to use freedom as license. If we have, forgive us for those places. And then, Lord, you know those places in our life where we struggle to fulfill what we know you are teaching because they just, to our humanity, don't feel right. Lord, help us to trust you more and live that out more. Lord, thank you that you forgive us for the sins and mistakes of our past if we will just but ask you. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of us this morning that you would forgive our sins, that you would forgive our mistakes. May we learn from its lessons, but may we not stay in the punishment of its remembrance. Gracious Lord, thank you that we are freed from the fear of tomorrow. Lord, we do want to plan, and there are things that we that can make us shake in fear, but Lord, help us to trust in you and be freed from that fear. And Lord, as you give us breath and life every day in between, may we offer ourselves to you, that we may experience the full purpose of our life that you have created in us. So Lord, on this Independence Day, we thank you and we praise you for the freedom we know as United States of America citizens. And we thank you even more for the freedom that is the Christians. in whatever state of life they may be experiencing. So, Lord, may we praise your name that indeed you make us free. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we will be observing Holy Communion. If you did not pick up your elements as you walked in, please feel free to get them. I will remind you again, as tempting as it is, the game plan is receiving the sacrament after the liturgy. So, as I've said before, luck of the draw, you may get an easy one that just opens right up. You may get a stubborn one. Don't panic. We'll all be in a prayerful mind. I'll monitor the room when I get the sense that everyone has had a chance to receive the sacrament. Then we will close in prayer. So, you know, if you get a stubborn one, don't panic. There's no rush. And I remind you again that everyone is invited to participate in the sacrament, regardless of church membership or denominational affiliation. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The Lord be with you.
And
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for you, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And let us receive the sacrament. Thank you. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you as we have received the sacrament this morning that you have spoken to each heart as you would speak. As you would speak to each one in that way that we only experience you through this holy moment of receiving your sacrament. And Lord, may we on this day of receiving on this Independence Day be reminded in a fresh way of the freedom that was bought for us on that cross. On the freedom that is ours as we love, follow, trust, and serve you. So gracious Lord, whatever it is that each person needed to experience through this time this morning, I pray that it has been so. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is Victory in Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.